When Jesus came into the world, religion was very muscular. And because of that, people really didn't know where Jesus fit. He wasn't a Pharisee. And Pharisees were a group of religious people who really spent time policing the religious people of the day. There were some 600 or more laws that people needed to follow on a daily basis. Can you imagine? Over 600 personal laws to follow on a daily basis. And there were people who just believed that it was their job to go around and kind of pinpoint the wrongs and everybody else. Well, we don't have Pharisees today, but maybe we sometimes do. Maybe we sometimes are. And then you have a group of Sadducees. And Sadducees were really involved with temple worship. They wanted to make sure everything was good and right and precise. And they did that to a T. And then you had another group of people called the Essenes. And the Essenes wanted to be so holy that they thought the only way to be holy was to remove themselves from everyone else. And so they went off quite literally and lived in caves, trying not to be influenced by the world. And that's how they basically lived a very isolated life until their last breath. And then somewhat opposite to that were the political religious people of the day called zealots. And the zealots were always trying to undermine any of the strong governments of the day because they believed that the only way Jesus would come, and or the Messiah would come rather, and rule the world is if they could get rid of the Roman government and so forth and so on at that particular time. So it was a mixture and it was somewhat of a mess. And when Jesus comes along, he was known as a rabbi, a teacher. There's no doubt about that. But people just didn't know where to categorize him, where to put him, especially when he came along and he said this to people. And maybe you need to hear this today like I do. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Ever feel that way? And I will give you rest. Take my teaching. For Rabbi, the word yoke always meant teaching. Take my teaching upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle. I am humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. My teaching is easy. My burden is not 600 laws a day. My burden is light. That sounds like good news to a lot of people today. I think it's great news. Because there are a lot of people in our world today, and if you're visiting with us today and you feel this way, please know that you're not the only one who feels this way, where you feel like you're at the end of your rope. Or maybe the world has just become crashing down on you. Everything is just too difficult right now, and you feel lost, and you feel somewhat alone. You feel like you've hit rock bottom. Now, last week, we told the story about the wonderful author of the Harry Potter series, J.K. Rowling, who has sold more than 400 million books around the world, sold in some 200 countries, translated into 69 different languages. But there was a time in her life when she hit rock bottom, long before she had success. She grew up in a home with a loving mother, but a very difficult father. And her mother died at an early age, which left J.K. Rowling and her sister alone with a father who really wasn't interested, nor did he have the capability of raising two girls. And so at a young age, some 17 years of age, J.K. Rowling decided to leave home. She moved to Portugal to teach English as a second language, and she got caught up in a romance and within a very short time had a young daughter, and the marriage was collapsing around her. She had no idea what to do. She got a job as a secretary. It lasted for a while until she was fired. And in her own words, she said, if anyone could be homeless without actually being homeless, that was us. If it wasn't for the welfare of the British Empire, we would be on the streets. She said, I hit rock bottom. But rock bottom became a solid foundation on which to rebuild my life. And if not just for me, for my daughter. And she said, the only thing I had was a dream. And this dream has been in her head for a long, long time about this orphan boy who really had no place to go and had to live under the stairs. And if you watch the movies or read the books, you know what I'm talking about. And all of J.K. Rowling's books really talk about the power of redemptive love. And it was this redemptive love that changed her life, the love she had for her child. She said, I hit rock bottom. I had no other place to go. And she also said, and if I didn't have my daughter, I didn't know what I would do to myself. But I wanted to rebuild my life for her sake. And because of this, she's developed a wonderful relationship. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you're not in that particular mode, but there is something greatly missing in your life. And so all I want to share today, based on the video that you've already seen and heard today, is this beautiful story of redemption. And redemption might be a difficult word to explain. Let me read to you what one author describes redemption as. And I thought it was very simple, but I thought it was helpful. Here's what this person said. Redemption is the act of Jesus saving us from our own sin, freeing us. We obtain possession of the salvation offered by Jesus because Jesus clears our debt of sin. And therefore, we live in honor of him. We live in honor of what he has done, and we live in honor of what he is doing and will do, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our loved ones and the world itself. Now, that's redemption. He came not just to save our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And John, when he writes, is a little different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John sees Jesus from a global standpoint. If you were to ask somebody, what do you think is the most popular verse in the New Testament? I think most people would say John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And he's not just talking about people, but the entire cosmos. He so loved the world that he gave himself, his one and only Son, trying to separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is a mistake because they're not separate. They come together as one. And so God is offering himself. The Holy Spirit is offering himself. Jesus offered himself. And he continually offers himself to us, hoping that when we get, if we ever get to that point, where we've hit rock bottom, you're not there alone. Listen to what Paul said about this. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid, Christ Jesus. If you've hit rock bottom, he is the solid foundation. He's the solid foundation for everything. And so when it comes to redemption, it's a wonderful story that you and I can all be part of. So I just want to kind of conclude this today by looking at a couple of these scriptures that I found to be particularly helpful. It's all throughout the Bible. All the writers grab all of this. Even in Old Testament times before Jesus came, people knew that God was all about redeeming them, bringing them together as one, never being alone. I love some of the Old Testament scriptures. This is not on PowerPoint. But I love so many of them. I see some of those prophets quite literally living in caves sometimes and trying to just survive and yet wanting to share the good news and hearing God say, don't worry, I'm the Lord your God who takes you by the hand and says, don't be afraid. I am with you always. even when we are afraid, even when we hit rock bottom. Because remember, if you hit rock bottom, there's a solid foundation because Jesus is right there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We are in his mind and in his heart every day. And so we want to return that favor because of being redeemed by him. So listen to these scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For you know it's not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you've been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot and without blemish. And translations are sometimes a bit different, but there's no doubt about the theme of this. He is our redemption. Or maybe a longer one in Colossians 1 and verse 13. For God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us to the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Or Romans 3, 23 and 24. Now, many of us know Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all know that particular verse. For we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But then verse 24, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Redemption, forgiveness of sins. Sometimes that's an interesting phrase, the forgiveness of sins, especially back in Old Testament days. Jeff Taylor is teaching a class right now on Psalms, and David talks a lot about his own personal sins. And he had a few, like we all do. And in one of them, in Psalm 51, he's begging God, he says this, to cleanse me of all sin. And that word literally means, get this, God, unsin me. Isn't that cool? Forgive me of my sins. It kind of flows off the tongue. Please cancel that. But when you hear David say, oh God, I've committed such a grievous sin. I haven't honored you. I haven't honored myself. I haven't honored this other person. I don't know what to do. The pain is just too strong. And so he says to God, God, please unsin me. Get rid of that. And I'm going to do my best to honor you. To live a redemptive life is always on a daily basis recognizing what Jesus has done, is doing, and is continuing to do so that we can be his representative on this earth. Letting people know about Jesus Christ, but also honoring the fact that he has all authority. And he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and therefore we listen to him. If that sounds confusing, I'm going to conclude with this. At the end of Matthew, just before Jesus leaves, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go into all the world and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. And I forgot the import of that first part. Listen with me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. If there is someone who has all authority over everything that is seen and unseen, who has all authority of the past, present, and future, has all authority over every single human being on this earth, has authority over me, over you, wouldn't we want to pay attention to what he says? And so he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given. Go and make disciples of all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've taught you. There's our mantra. There's our motto. There's our mandate. And we teach people by our lives. Sometimes it's verbally, sometimes it's just by watching people, and sometimes it's by just coming along people, especially in their moments where it's dark and lonely and rock bottom. And maybe redemption is felt and experienced most when we have hit rock bottom. But maybe it's also a reminder for all of us to come alongside others who are hurting, who are lost, and who are lonely. So that's what Jesus said to his disciples. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go and make disciples of all nations. So they're thinking, so how do I do this? And it seems like the first chance they had was about 50 days after Jesus left the earth. There was this thing called Pentecost. And at Pentecost, they were caught up by the power of God, by the power of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they all just started to preach about Jesus. But the preaching of Jesus was all about redemption. This Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. And it touched a nerve. People were just waiting to hear that. And there were some people there that said, so what do we do? And I don't know, maybe it's just speculation on my part. I'm thinking that people, when they asked that, weren't really expecting an answer. Well, what do we do? If he was the Messiah and we killed him, well, I guess that's it. What do we do? Peter said, no. Here's what you do. Rethink everything. Repent. Change. Stop. Think about this again. Repent. Forgiveness for sure. I want you to know, Peter says, that you have redemption through Christ Jesus. So stop and rethink everything about the one who has all authority over all things. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, that was quite the invitation. When you have 3,000 people say, let's go. Let's have the baptism. Maybe you're here today and you wouldn't be interested in part of 3,000, but if God has been touching you today, talking about this redemptive act of God, that he gives himself to us totally and completely, he wants to unsin us. He wants to wash us. It's not in the act of baptism, it's the act of God himself living in us through Jesus. To be washed, to be cleansed. Sometimes people have been baptized in a lake. Sometimes people have been baptized in a really cold lake. Sometimes in a dirty lake. Sometimes people have been baptized in the baptistry. Sometimes people have been baptized in the swimming pool. Sometimes people have been baptized in the bathtub. Doesn't really matter where. But it's the invitation of God. It's the act of our submission being cleansed in these waters of baptism. And if you're here and you want to know more about that, we would be happy to share that with you. If you've hit rock bottom, you're not alone. Jesus is there. He's the solid foundation on which to rebuild your life. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you so much for loving us beyond words. We thank you not just for a redemptive story, but that you are continually redeeming us. We think of the price that you paid, the one that has all authority over everything and yet was willing to give that up so that we might be redeemed. Help us to understand that the most power in this world is through selfless giving, selfless love. Help us to come alongside others who are lonely and hurting as you come alongside us. Father, as we continue to praise you and worship you, accept this praise through Christ Jesus. Amen.